I hope that got a little butt and shoulder wiggle there. It's the Monica Jay Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. David, you know that was just for you. Thanks for joining us today on the Monica Jay Show. I am so glad you're here, and I hope you're healthy and have peace of mind. Maybe you are just sitting back at home, being able to catch up on some stuff. Remember when you go shopping, though. I know a lot of people are, you know, getting those necessities, the canned foods and everything, so they can go that 2 weeks. But grab some goodies, too, okay? Grab some of the cakes and pies and, you know, the chocolate and the comfort food and, you know, treat yourself, too. Think positive. All right, let's go to the phone lines at 884-9910 and check in with our guest today, Chuck Clement. Chuck, thank you so much for joining me. And wow, what an extraordinary history you have been to become a CCW instructor, and your past. Also a great email that you send out to people. Clement Weather. So Chuck, first off, being former law enforcement, give people an idea of your history that they know you know what you're talking about.
All right, let me stop wiggling my shoulders for a moment. Okay. Yeah, I've been doing law enforcement, safety and security things in Northern Nevada for probably about 35 years. Police department, I was safety and security director for residence halls at the university. I did some private security things. I've worked with the Washoe County Sheriff's Office with their CERT, the Community Emergency Response Team, for about 10 years, taught at their academy. And I have a little company where I do firearms training and safety and security things now.
So how is that going right now for people here in Northern Nevada, Chuck? Because I was getting tweets and emails from people that they finally decided to go out and get a firearm for their home, so for personal protection. Yet the system seems to be not necessarily shutting down, but the process of being able to get a background check or a CCW from whichever county you live in has ground down to a halt, it seems like.
Yeah, well, you know, with the coronavirus issue, there's a lot of things you probably saw in the news. Your listeners have heard about it. A lot of government agencies are changing their focus. They're running out of staff. They have limited resources, so they're having to face these things by putting their priorities on the things that are most at risk to public health and safety. I remember years ago when I was a police officer, we used to actually respond and take written reports from someone that might have had their bike stolen. Of course, that doesn't happen anymore. The shift has been to doing things digitally, to go online, to do things like that. And the same kind of thing is happening with when these things get big and the staffing needs need to be refocused. Some of the things are not going to get as much attention. I've been reading things about, for example, you mentioned about going in and buying a firearm. Typically, you could go in, you'd give your information to the gun store clerk. They would enter it into the system, and 10, 15, maybe, gosh, you'd have to wait as long as 20 minutes before you'd get your approval back, and you could go out of there with your firearm. But, you know, give you an example, the Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, when everyone is waiting in line and getting the color TVs and so forth, a lot of people say, you know, I think it's time I'm going to get a firearm, too. And the national system where they do these background checks has been, in the last few years, gotten overloaded. So instead of being able to just walk in and 5 minutes later able to walk out, when all these people are logging on trying to do background checks, the system slows down, and I'm hearing things and looking at articles and saying this, in some cases, it's taking 2-3 days or maybe even longer before you could get that approval back showing that you are not a criminal and allowed to get a gun. So that's mm-hmm. slowing things down in a lot of areas.
Now, how does that go state by state, or does it all funnel in to the same system?
Well, my understanding, and years ago I did firearm sales and was a firearms dealer, but it's been quite a while. My understanding of how it worked then and how it is mainly working now. When you go to your gun store and they call a number, typically it goes to a central location in the state. In Nevada, that would be in Carson City, where they have a number of people sitting at computer terminals. And when you call them, you talk to someone, the gun clerk will give them your name, your information, and they will enter that into the computer. The computer will then check the records back in the central computer back in Washington, D.C., the federal system, and make sure that you're not, you don't have any active warrants, you're not a criminal who's, it would be illegal for you to own a firearm and so forth. And within a few moments, they can come back and say, okay, you're cleared to give this firearm to the customer that's purchasing it, or there's some issues and you're not allowed to give it to them at this point. If you call and there's, let's just pull some random numbers out. Let's say there's three people working in that room, and you call and someone else calls and another person calls. Well, those three lines are going to be tied up. You're going to have to wait on hold for a while until that line clears up. And if this continues and throughout the state you have 10, 15 people at once that are all wanting to get firearms, it could take a while for you to get through and get that information entered. And that's just on the phone line.
Yeah, because, look at how many gun stores that we have in the different communities. And so all of those gun stores, all of those people who are trying to purchase are going into that one system. It's just going to bog down.
Yeah. And go ahead.
So, Chuck, we've seen this from other states that are just, saying, okay, no more gun sales, alcohol sales, all that good stuff. We're just going to put our foot down, of course, liberal communities. But here in Nevada, that has not been done. Gun stores are still open. They're still selling. On the subject matter of the CCW, though, how is the county and different counties handling getting CCW applications done?
Well, the system is pretty much standardized. The individual counties have to do their business the way that they do it in their office. You might have one person, you might have five people, it depends on the county. And as an example, in Washoe County, it's taking pretty close to that 120 days for most people to be getting their permits. I had a student that came through the class a couple months ago, and they called me about 3 weeks later. I said, I've got my permit. I said, do you do that? Well, they lived in Douglas County, who has a different system. They don't have quite as many applications. They were able to get it quicker. But what happened recently, when I was with the police department, we had to look at training and planning for worst-case scenarios. What would we do if something like this happened? And all the local agencies are doing that. They're saying, wow, if our patrol deputies get sick, how are we going to make sure we have adequate staffing out on the street to protect our community? And maybe we're going to have to cut back on some of the other things. And being an instructor in the Reno Sparks area, I occasionally get emails from the sheriff's department saying, hey, here's some changes in the law. Here's some things we want you to do now. Be careful about these kind of things and so forth when you're teaching your classes. And I got one yesterday that explained initially that they were going to limit the amount of hours that they were going to accept CCW permits, which makes sense. If you have, a lot of people coming in and you realize that you're going to need those people to do other duties, you're going to want to restrict that and minimize the impact. And then later on...
Oh, well, in the waiting room, when I went in and got mine, was at least 30 people in the waiting room, and we were not social distancing. We were packed on top of each other.
Right. And then I got an email later that said, okay, the situation's been updated. We are no longer going to accept applications for CCW permits, at least on a temporary basis. And then I say, we'll let you know how these things come about, how these things change. But from my experience as a law enforcement officer, I understand how this works because, you're hearing things now about what could happen 2 weeks from now. What's happening in California where they just said, everyone needs to stay at home. Is that going to be coming to this area? And if you're an administrator at a law enforcement agency, you need to start thinking, 2 weeks from now, what is the situation going to be like? So
not everybody stays home. We've already seen home invasions. We've already seen, people being robbed outside of grocery stores. And people want to protect themselves. But Chuck, I think one of the important things is this is an open carry state. So you don't have to have a CCW, but this is where you come into play. Even though they don't have to have a CCW to carry, they have to have training, in my mind, as a responsible gun owner. And you're still there for that.
Yeah, to some extent. I have a kind of specialty that I do. I only do small groups of 2, 4, 6, something like that. I don't do large groups because I prefer that one-on-one contact when we're talking about firearms and use of force and so forth. The problem is, for a CCW permit, even if you were to take the class, who knows when it's going to be processed and so forth. But your point is, your bigger point, I think, is more important. You could go out, and even if you're able to purchase a firearm, how are you going to utilize that? What do you know about use of force? Holding a gun, going to the range, and shooting a few rounds at a target, that's a lot different than when you're in a dynamic situation where someone is trying to hurt you. And that's where I focus my training on in my classes. You know, a great analogy is you can go out and buy a car, but society says, you know, we don't want you driving on our highways until you understand what the laws are and until you've shown that you can operate the car. And it's the same way with a gun. You can have a gun, but if you're going to carry it out in public and if you're going to potentially use that to defend yourself or someone else, you should really have a pretty good understanding of what that means legally, what can get you in trouble, what can get you arrested or even sent to prison. Yeah. And having a better understanding of that is very important.
And we have a question for you, Chuck. Kevin is calling in at 884-9910. Kevin, thank you for joining the show. And Chuck Clement here from Clement Weather. What is your question, Kevin?
Yes, Monica, thank you for everything you're doing. This is a great, great interview you're doing. I just had a quick thing. I understand or have heard that if you have a current CCW, that you don't have to do the background check. Is that correct?
That's my understanding. This is probably still in flux. The legislature in the last session made a lot of changes. The one large one was the universal background check. A year ago, if this situation that we're in with the virus now, if I had a friend that said, hey, I'm worried, I'm concerned, I'm scared, I could loan them a firearm. You know, they've been through my classes, but they don't have a gun. I could loan them one. Now, you can't do that unless you go to a gun store and go through a background check before you transfer possession of that to that other person. There was an exemption for the background check a year ago, if you had a concealed weapon permit, because you have to go through a fairly extensive background check. If you went to a gun store, instead of them doing a check to see that you were legally able to own that firearm, presenting your CCW permit, they would say, okay, you've had a background check. We can go ahead and sell you this gun because you already have that CCW permit. I believe that's still the case. But the problem with some of these laws that were passed at the last legislature, there's some vague language in there. Yeah. And it's subject to interpretation by different counties and different gun stores. And I don't have the definite yes or no answer because I haven't bought any firearms in the last year or so.
All right. Kevin, thank you so much for the call. And, you know, there are a lot of fantastic gun stores out there. I would just go in, do your thing, and, you know, if you have to pay a few bucks for that background check, go ahead and do it. And the trick that I have talked with gun store owners about is they're calling really early. They're trying to be the first one in that queue. And they've been processing, say somebody gets through on the line, they process anywhere from 10 to 20 at a time. So maybe it'll be tomorrow that you get it done. It is going to happen. So, Chuck, can you hang on the line for just a minute? Because I want to ask you another question, but we've got to take a quick break here.
Certainly.
We'll be back right here on the Monica Jay Show. Your concerns, your questions during this unprecedented time of a lot of time being spent at home. So we'll be back on this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
Fox at the top. Fox at the bottom. Live and local right now. Monica Jay on KKFT.
And that is to make sure that you are safe and sound. It's the Monica J Show, 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. My guest right now, Chuck Clement. Chuck, if people want to have that smaller gathering and go through their CCW training, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, the best way is on my website, clementweather.com. I've got links there. Go ahead and click on that. Send me an email, send me a message, sign up for my newsletter, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
Oh, all right. And just be safe out there. Thank you for your help today getting the word out. And I shall talk to you again soon. If you get any updates from the Sheriff's Department, please just call in and let us know. Let's go to Monty quickly, and he's got the answer to that background check question. Monty, can people still use their CCWs that are current to bypass the background check if they want to purchase a new firearm?
If you're buying a new one, yes, you can use your CCW, and I only got a minute here, so I'll be fast. But if you do a private party, so if a guy comes in with his gun and says this is a private party sale, the dealer doesn't get charged for the background check to DMV, but you still have to do it. It doesn't matter if you have a CCW or not. Now, if it goes at a three-day wait, the dealer has to say, do you want the gun back or do you want us to hold it? The minute it goes on the books, then you have to do a background check to get it back. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, because even if you are the owner, company still has to take responsibility to make sure you are approved to get it back. So, yeah, and that was another thing that the legislature brought in.
So you could take it right then and there and not leave it with the dealer for the three-day wait, but what's going to happen, as you well know, they're going to walk outside and they got to and be gone. That's what they're going to do. And then it'll be declined. The guy will say it was declined. It's already gone, done, see you, goodbye.
Yeah, exactly. Monty, thank you so much for calling with the information. I appreciate it. Mike is on the line right now at 884-9910. Hey, Mike, you got a question?
Well, this is about the coronavirus thing. I have a friend that works for the FAA up in the Northwest, and we're still getting flights in from China because he can see what flights are coming into our country and not.
Right.
And that's not been stopped.
Right. Because is it a passenger flight? Because from my understanding, we still will receive cargo flights, and we will receive passenger flights that are American nationals, because getting them home. They will have to go through a quarantine session, but they are being allowed to come home.
That I'm not sure, because he sounds he wasn't sure either. He thinks it could be some passengers coming from China also. And then from Europe, that stopped, but they can fly to England and fly over here also from Europe.
Well, from my understanding, the UK is shut down now too. It's all international travel, unless they are an American national.
That just happened. Yeah, but that just happened. So yesterday or 2 days ago, you could have flown from Italy to England and then flown here.
Yeah.
And I wish he would have shut everything out in January, but the Democrats would never have allowed that.
Oh, yeah. That's he'd be more than just racist.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. So, Mike, thank you so much for the call. And, yeah, those are big concerns. We're coming on hindsight. Hindsight's 2020. And I do believe that President Trump did have to roll this out slowly, because look at how he was attacked in January, just shutting down travel from China. Which, by the way, you want to add that Washington bureaucrat in China who let people fly out and back to this country. Okay. That wasn't supposed to happen. But I hope that person is being punished. And speaking of punishment, today's poll question. All right. 991fmtalk.com. Do you think people who are incarcerated should be released from prison because of the coronavirus? Yesterday's poll question, should stimulus money go to the public and small business before it goes to corporate bailouts? 66% said yes, 0% said no. 16% said the government should not be forcing the shutdown. 11% said stimulus money is unconstitutional. 5% said None, 2%, said politicos make this mismanagement into an art form. I wonder if Harry Reid is smiling. You know he is. You absolutely know he is. So today's question, should inmates be released from prison because of the coronavirus? And I know that sounds absolutely stupid, but that is a question. Stick around. We've got some very special guests coming up after 8 o'clock. We'll check in with Christy from Battleborn Firearms. She's got some more pertinent information for us on buying firearms at this time and CCWs. And we'll also check in with Sean Meehan, who is, well, he's who we turn to when it comes to the Constitution and your rights. We'll be back after this Fox News update on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news. 99.1 FM Talk, KKFT.
It is 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. It's the Monica J Show, your show, live and local for all of Northern Nevada, with your questions, your concerns, and hopefully the answers to all of those. Let's go to the phone lines at 884-9910. We're going to clarify something that Monty had said in the last conversation that we were having with Chuck Clement. We've got, I always turn to her. She's my expert, Christy Scott from Battleborn Firearms and Ammunition. Thank you so much for calling in, Christy. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I was actually in my office for about 5 seconds.
I can imagine. I can imagine. So what is the deal if you have a current CCW, what is the understanding to purchase a firearm and the background check?
So if you have a current CCW, you can use that to bypass the background check as long as you're going into a licensee, a federal firearms licensee, like a gun store. There's a lot of firearm licensees also that run gun businesses out of their garage. But if they are a federally licensed firearms business, then the background check is bypassed if you have a CCW. We just take the information and we write it on the background check form. CCW has to be a Nevada CCW. Can't be one that we recognize for you to just carry. It has to be Nevada issued from the state in which the gun is being purchased.
The clarification is between new
and old. You can buy any gun in a gun store, new, old, consigned, whatever, just as long as you're buying it in a gun store, licensed FFL. If you're buying it from somebody on the street, you have to go into the gun store and get the private party background check.
Okay. So,
and they're taking just as long.
Mm-hmm. You can still buy the consignments and the older firearms.
Yes.
It's not just
Absolutely.
New guns. All right. Well, you Absolutely. Get back to work because I know you've already got people lining up at the door and a lot of companies like yourself not even taking the phone calls because the gun industry, our local stores have been so busy mm-hmm. that if you call and ask, hey, do you have this in stock? The person that as soon as you hang up the phone that's coming through the door is probably going to purchase that.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's pointless to ask because it'll be gone by the time they get there.
Can you hang on for just a second,
sure.
Christy? And
sure.
Sean, you hang on as well. Greg has a CCW question for you, Christy. Can you answer this? Greg, thank you so much for calling the Monica J Show. What's your question for Christy?
Hey, I worked out of the Reno shooting facility a couple years ago. And my biggest concern I had with people qualifying for CCW is a lot of the places that do CCWs were passing people that had no business being passed. And a lot of these businesses, you know, they have a reputation for passing people, and so they don't want to be so strict that nobody passes. But our personal opinion from the guys that worked at the range was we believe that for you to get a CCW, you should have all shots center mass. And a lot of people are getting maybe 2 shots out of 5 in center mass. And our personal opinion was that they're passing people that shouldn't be passed at all.
And we've all seen that happen. However, the CCW requirements are put out by the Nevada Sheriffs and Chiefs Association. If you're seeing people that are unsafe, that's different. But the Nevada Chiefs and Sheriffs Association only requires competence at shooting. They don't require proficiency. So as long as the people, yeah, that's exactly it. So if you've got a silhouette, imagine the silhouette of the human being. And the bottom part of the silhouette, you know, the chest and the torso, they've got lines that start. So in the center, you've got the X, center mass. Then you've got the ring for 9. You've got the ring for 8. And that far outer ring is a 7. They have to get a certain number of shots within the 7. And that's all that is required for a CCW. One of the things that I require is
What do they consider that, Christy, a broadside of a barn?
My biggest concern is that they be safe, and I will fail someone if they, like I had somebody point a gun at me.
Yeah.
They muzzled me. You know, it was just in what they were doing, and I said, if you do that again, I'm going to have to fail you because I have a personal thing about safety. But until those standards are changed, so in my classes, I do my very, very best to tell them they got to practice. I hate getting people in for a recertification that have no clue how a gun operates, that have no clue how to be safe with it. And I'm asking myself, who passed this person?
Yeah.
It's like they don't pick up a gun until they have to. So it's really a rough situation, Greg. I couldn't agree with you more. If you see instructors, though, that are cutting corners, report them. That's the only way we're going to stop getting these, you know. I mean, I've heard of people that have had their CCWs just signed off on because they were in law enforcement or military, et cetera, by some of the instructors. And that frustrates me.
Yeah, that's not right. So, Christy, thank you so much for spending the time with us.
My pleasure.
And keep in mind that all CCW applications are approved by each county sheriff. So all of this information, it always depends on what county you live in. Christy, take care of yourself and get back. Oh, what's
quick
that?
Note. I know that Carson City, or I've heard, I haven't verified it yet, Carson City is not taking CCW applications for a while. I think not until April 6th. I'm going to try to verify it today, but if people are waiting for theirs, that may be what's going on.
Okay, so that follows along suit as Washoe. Yeah, that follows suit with Washoe County because they have limited staff. You know, Christy, thank you so much.
You bet, Monica. Have a good one.
You too. All right, let's go back to the phone lines with a gentleman I had booked yesterday for this time slot. He's been waiting so patient, and that is Sean Meehan. He is my constitutional conservative, and I just love having you on the show, Sean. And if people have constitutional questions, just like we did with Christy, if you know, with the CCW questions, if you've got a question for Sean, please feel free to call in. Sean, first off, how can people find out more about you and the work that you do online?
GuardTheConstitution.com. What I do full-time is try to work with a small group around the country to educate state legislators on Article 5 of the Constitution and that they have a lot more power and rights than they think they do. But we've wandered into a very interesting area of the Constitution with this
Boy,
corona situation.
Have we
sure.
ever. Have we ever. What are some of the questions that you're getting right now from people around the country about what's going on and the city shutdowns and the, you know, closing private businesses and things like that?
Well, first I'll say I'll give you a safe distance virtual hug. It's good to hear from you. And initially what I'm hearing from a lot of friends is the ardent liberty constitutionalist people was the, you know, understandable knee-jerk reaction right away. You know, you can't do this, yell and scream. And arguably, if you look at state constitutions, there's quite a bit of power that governors do have. Now, I have to be honest with you and your readers that this is an area of the Constitution I'm probably a lot less versed in than others. I've tried to do some research at the speed of light the last 48 hours, and I have discovered that there's certain health and safety issues and things like that that governors can do. They can declare martial law. The Congress nationally can declare martial law, which essentially is suspending habeas corpus. I don't think we're going to get to that because the reasons that require it, but what I'm seeing here just in the last 48 hours as somebody that works on social media full time is I'm starting to see people that I know that are typically pretty thoughtful, pretty even tempered are starting to use profanity. The frustration's coming out. And this is, I think, all to be expected. And they're yelling, screaming, and venting. So what I just did just before getting on the phone with you is kind of a whim, is maybe it can be something for us. Is I built a Facebook group called Citizens for Positive Coronavirus Solutions Worldwide. We're going to try to share this, and my thought would be if we can get a couple million people piled into here over the next month sharing whatever they want, I think that's the way to address our government, because I'm sure in a few small areas at a minimum, authority's being exceeded, probably for honorable reasons at this point. But I think if we come, if we yell and scream and bitch and moan at each other, nothing's going to happen. We're going to all have psychological meltdowns, and we're all going to be on Prozac when this is over. And nobody wins unless you're a pharmaceutical company. The point being, if we come together and push back.
When that happens, when that pushback is so hard, because as we heard that, you know, law enforcement is going to be fining people if they don't shut their businesses down, if something happens, we have a tendency to get aggressive and say, no, this is my right. But with that aggression, the other party has a tendency to push back as well. So you're basically hitting a brick wall.
Well, I think that's an important point. Like my friend Chuck Clement you had on earlier, that I've learned from law enforcement officers, is there are times randomly, every group's got a few knuckleheads in it, that the one in a thousand law enforcement officers is a jerk or exceeds his authority. But if you yell and scream, you're going to get his knee in the back of your neck and your face on the concrete. And you may win in court when it's all said and over. But the thought that law enforcement officers that I trust and respect teach me is sometimes even when you're right, know that you're right, do your homework, de-escalate, make your notes, and then take proper action. And that's kind of where I was trying to go to with this group, is if we all yell and scream, bitch and moan, we may be correct that certain areas authority's being exceeded. But if we come together, get clarification, get the references, try to understand why they're doing things that we don't understand, and then get numbers to calmly, respectfully, but authoritatively push back. And there's things we can win here. Has anybody actually reached out and asked that the federal or state authorities cite the constitutional or legal references that they're operating under every day when they give us the briefings of what they're doing? That's a very simple request. And they either have an answer or they don't. And either one of those tells us what we need to know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what I thought was interesting was what you shared with me when we talked before this call was your feedback you got from your one listener about how the president gave the states all this authority. And I've seen people that don't understand what a republic is before, but this guy was way out of his lane and everybody else's lane. He didn't have a clue.
Yeah,
and
Bill,
if you'll notice and you'll read the specific announcements being given, is the governor has been using directive language, but when you read all this, they're very strongly asking. Enforcement may be different in different counties.
Mm-hmm.
And the federal government is providing, you know, expertise and things they're doing. Is it constitutional? I have some questions there. But they're trying to be an overall provider of logistics, research, coordination, and communication. But I believe all the authoritative moves to this point have been taken by governors that actually do have quite a bit of authority in this area. And we're going to find out a lot more in the near future. If you want to go to the Washington Times, yesterday I saw an article. A religious group and another social group in New Hampshire have filed a lawsuit with their court. There's a hearing going on today as to whether some of these quarantine actions are authorized. I'm sure we'll see that in other states and whether the courts should decide this or not. The point is there's going to be mature, authoritative, rigorous, source-referenced discussions where we are going to clarify the lines, because we haven't had the internet in the past when habeas corpus has been suspended or things like that. So we all need to work together, find out where the lines are. And then if we as the people, we need to, I think we should consider the South Korea or the Germany models, where the older, higher, at risk with lung conditions, et cetera, people, we know they're at risk. We need to protect their lives, quarantine them, consider modifying what we're doing in the longer term. I respect President Trump greatly. His team looks incredibly competent. They've been through these wars before. of viruses and infections. But with anything, no matter how good you are, when you do your initial response and you get to a point of stabilization, and we're getting close to that, then you need to reevaluate and adjust the proper levels. We, the people, calmly and assertively and together can push back and help identify those levers. Or we can bitch and moan and lose our mind, and that's our choice.
Right. But how responsible is it for people like Bill de Blasio to say this is the perfect time for us to, you know, take over these private industries, these private businesses, and federalize them?
Well, I think you probably, that's a rhetorical question, and I know you know the answer. You know, never,
because
that's the wrong
Bill de Blasio is an
never
idiot.
Let a good crisis go to it. Fear and panic, if you look at the history of progressivism in this country over 100 years and the degradation of our rights and the usurpation of our Constitution, it's done in crises like this. And while you may see some recoil when a crisis is over and some of the rights are restored, they almost never are completely restored. This is
right.
Generational incrementalism. And we've got to stand the hell up right now when we know better and we can communicate with each other and unite.
Well, I'm just glad we have people like you and your associates protecting the Constitution. So, Sean Meehan, thank you so much. Give me that name of the Facebook site that you want us to go to and be considerate to each other.
I'll link it to you later, too. I called it Citizens for Positive Coronavirus Solutions Worldwide. And people that show up are going to help me define what it stands for. My only goal right now would be to get as many people in there as we can, realizing bitching and moaning is not the solution, but pushing back and asking for clarification and adjustments is the solution.
That is the solution. Sean Meehan, thank you so much for joining me today. And I'm sure as this continues and as we get closer to a stabilization and wrap up of it, you'll be back with us again. Sean Meehan, thank you so much and be safe.
God bless, Monica. Talk to you later.
God bless you as well. All right, stick around. We're going to be back to wrap up the show, your live and local FM talk show right after this on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk.
FM Talk. 92.3 FM Talk for Mason and Smith Valley.
It's the Monica J. Show on 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk. Liberals and progressives at work in this time of crisis. And just, you know, let's just throw open the doors to the jail. Just pull open those doors. Nonviolent criminals. A criminal is a criminal. We don't do this during the flu and people dying and outbreaks. Why should we do it now? That's my opinion. Go to the poll question at 991fmtalk.com. Should inmates be released from prison because of the coronavirus? There are actually prisons that are doing this and jails. Just it's just mind-boggling the craziness that happens. So a lot of people using social media right now, just so you know, I made the comment earlier that I had put a post from the mayor's press conference on and it was blocked and it was deleted. I got the notification that I had put up something that wasn't to their standards. And so one of the reasons that they do that is, once again, everybody is kind of shutting down, backing off the staff. And that includes the big companies like Facebook and Twitter and all the other ones out there. So they're letting the computers do their thing. This is all what we're going through now, a preview of what's to come in our future years ahead of us. Their algorithms are working. They're blocking things because most of their people have gone home. The algorithm flag something, the human eyes look, the algorithm, when there's somebody there not to look, just bumps these things out. So I had somebody text me earlier at 884-9910, which you can text to that number at any time you like, not just during the show when it's live. Six different people that this person is saying have had actually Facebook apologizing for taking posts down that they have put out. So, you know, it's just, everything's new. Everything's new today. Everything's new tomorrow. what is decided today is not going to take effect or have any effect on Monday or next Friday. We just kind of go with the flow right now. If you want to find the latest on the coronavirus, make sure you just stay here. Just keep it locked on to 92.3 and 99.1 FM Talk, because Jerry Evans and Craig Swope will have the latest on the coronavirus and how is it affecting Northern Nevada here at 5, between 5 and 6 every weekday. And of course, there's always the website. You can get in contact with us through social media that way at 991fmtalk.com. And if you are out of work and you want to work, or if you have a business and you need people, it's hiremenevada.com. We make it easy for you because we care about you and we're here with you. It's the Monica J. Have a great weekend. Love you.